All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read the first three verses. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, when we study these exhortations, I think you've noticed, and I've tried to be sure to do this in each one of these. I've taken them one at a time because I wanted to do this in each of these exhortations. But the way that the Apostle Paul preached about a husband and a wife, showing that Christ is the husband and that the church is his bride, this is how every one of these exhortations should be preached, showing Christ's glory in the exhortation, showing how that this is fulfilled by Christ for his people. And then we look at the exhortation last, so that we're constrained by his love for us to obey. Now, this is written to believing children. Believing children. They're the only ones that can do this in the Lord. Now, we're going to focus our attention on just two sons this morning. Two sons. One son was a disobedient son. One son is an obedient son. First of all, Adam was the disobedient child. He was the disobedient son. Adam was the first son that God the Father created. God was his father, and Adam was his son. God gave his child one command in the garden. You're familiar with it, Genesis 2:16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." And there was a lot of trees there to eat from. And he said, "You may eat of any of those trees." And he said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," he said, "thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, Adam was to obey God his father. God was his father, and he was to obey him. Our text says, parents, children, obey your parents. And he was to obey the father. And by his obedience, Adam would have honored God the Father. It says here, children, honor your father. And by his obedience, he would have honored God his father. He would have said, he's the authority, he's the power, he's the head, I'm the child, I'm in submission to him. I'm in subjection to him. He would have honored him. And had Adam obeyed and honored God, it would have been well with Adam. That's what the scripture says. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. It shall be well with thee. It would have been well with Adam and all of his house, all of those born of Adam. It would have been well for them. But he disobeyed God, and he dishonored the father. And so it was not well with Adam. He died spiritually that day, just as God said he would. He died spiritually that day. Now, Leviticus 20, verse 9. Turn there with me. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9. This was the law that God gave later. But this shows us why Adam had to die. This is God's law. This was God's rule in the garden to Adam. And he gave this law later to show us just how holy and righteous God is. God gives no room for any leeway whatsoever. If you want to come to God under the law, this is what you have to be under right here. Leviticus 20, verse 9. Everyone that curseth his father or his mother, that's what Adam did in the garden when he disobeyed the commandment of God. If we disobey any commandment of God just in our thoughts, we've cursed God our Father. And this is what shall be for those that have cursed God the Father. He says, everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Now that's true. That's God's That's how it is. If you want to come to God in the law, you want to try to come to God by your obedience to the law, if you've ever had one disobedient thought toward God, one disobedient thought toward your parents, God says you must die. God doesn't just sentence capital punishment to murderers. He does it for those that are disobedient to fathers and mothers. Now, Adam was a representative head. And since Adam was a representative head, when he died, when he sinned and disobeyed God, all those that were in him, all his children were in him, and they disobeyed God in him. And so, death passed upon all men. The scripture says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the case with you. That's the case with me. So the first disobedience to a father, the very first disobedience to a father, resulted in sin and death entering the world. And you and I were conceived in sin because of it. So that we came forth from the womb disobeying God in our heart, dishonoring God our Father in our heart. And subsequently, we did the same to our earthly parents. That's what we came forth doing. No, I've said this to you before, no parent here taught your child to disobey you. You didn't have to. They knew how to do that already. And so we came forth disobeying as disobedient sons and daughters of God by nature. And there's no way we can come to God by our obedience to the law. We can't even, who would like to take this one law? If this was the only law there was, honor your father and your mother, obey your parents, who would like to try to come to God by their obedience to that one law? He'd be a fool if he said he wanted to. We've broken it. We can't come to God in the law. But thank God there's another son. And this son is the obedient son. In Matthew 17:5, God the Father said this, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sent his son to represent a people, and he sent him to uphold God's law. I want you to turn to Isaiah 42 just a minute. Isaiah chapter 42. He speaks here in verse 1 of the Lord Jesus, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." He's speaking of the Son of God. He came and he took part of the flesh of his brethren to uphold God's law for his people, to satisfy judgment, to set judgment in the earth on the cross, and to set judgment in the hearts of his people. Look down now at verse 21. "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable." This is speaking of his son. And that's why he said, "You hear my son. Hear what my son says." Christ said, "I didn't come to abolish the law. I didn't come to set the law aside. I came to fulfill the law." To fulfill it. And so he came forth to uphold God's law, including this one set before us. He came to magnify it, to make it honorable by his perfect obedience to the Father. He came to declare God just. That is, he came to satisfy the justice of God for his people. The only way God could show mercy to a sinner who's broken his law is for that law to be executed upon that sinner in full. That law had to be carried out in full upon everybody that he saves. And the only way that could happen, and God still show mercy to you and me, if he would have poured it out on us, we'd still be suffering now. We'd be suffering for eternity and not satisfied. But the eternal Son of God came and in human flesh went to the cross, and he satisfied justice so that he declared God just in what he did. And he came to declare that God is the justifier. We don't justify ourselves. Our faith does not justify us. Our faith looks to him who does justify us. And God was in Christ justifying his people. He's the justifier of his people. He gets all the glory in salvation. And then he came to save all God's children that God gave to him. The elect of God, chosen of God and precious, given to the Son. Christ did not come forth to lay down his life for nobody in particular. He came forth knowing who he was laying down his life for. He said their names are written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. He knew exactly who he came forth to lay down his life for. He told the Pharisees one day, I lay down my life for the sheep, and you're not the sheep. He came to lay down his life for a particular people. And the Son of God, now he's equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is equal with God. But when he came forth to do this work, he took the form of a servant. He took the form of a child in his father's house, obeying his father's will and honoring his father in all that he did. Look at John 5 in verse 30. And hold your place in John 5. I'll come back here. Now, this is spoken of as the servant of God. As God, he can do what he will. But this is as the mediator, as the servant of God, fulfilling the will of his Father for his people. Look at what he says, John 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. Why? He's under the rule of his Father. He's obeying his Father. He's honoring his Father. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You see, he's coming to obey the will of his Father. The law is the will of God who sent him. The law is the will of his Father who sent him. He said, thy law is in my heart. I came to do thy will, O God. He took away that first curse that was upon his people. With all the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us, he took that out of the way and established the will of his Father. That is, he established the law of God for his people. By the which will we're sanctified through the offering, through his offering once, that one offering. The law said, honor thy father and thy mother. Christ honored God his Father. In everything he was doing when he walked this earth, he was honoring God his Father. Christ honored Joseph, even though Joseph was not his true father. He honored him. He took his place under his rule. Imagine that. God the Son taking his place under the rule of a man, looking to that man as his father. And he did the same to Mary as his mother. And he did so in absolute perfection. Parents, have you ever thought about what it would be like to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your child? It wouldn't be any of the things that our parents faced with us, and none of the things that we face with our children. You're talking about a perfect child who only did that which was right all the time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That's what he did all the time. Well, his people had not honored God. Even though he honored God the Father throughout his life in perfection, his people had not honored God the Father. We disobeyed God in Adam and in our own transgression. And we broke the law. And the law said, everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He's cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. So how then can God save his people? How can he save those that he determined before the foundation of the world that he would save? The law's got to be honored. The law's got to be upheld. It's got to be magnified. So Christ our Lord, as the child of God his Father, obeyed his Father by taking all the sins of his people upon him. He was made a curse for us. The law said, cursed is the man who disobeys his father. He was made a curse for us. Now you think about that. There he is, this obedient son. And he goes before the father whom he loved, the father whom he honored, the father whom he obeyed. And he bore the curse that his father hated. And yet, while he bore that curse his father hated, to satisfy the penalty of the law, he was obeying his father and fulfilling the precept of it. All at the same time. Holy, with harmless, undefiled, while as yet he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And he bore our stripes. In doing so, he highly exalted God. He satisfied the justice of his law, and he fulfilled all righteousness, fulfilling the precept of his law. In doing so, he obeyed and he honored God to the highest honor. God's law also said to the child who's obedient, it said that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So what's God the Father going to do for this obedient son? God the Father was so well pleased with his son that he gave him a land. He gave him and made his days to be long in the land which God gave him. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. I said to you, he highly exalted God. Look at Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The word should there is shall. At his name every knee shall bow. When his name is pronounced in the court of your conscience and his blood sprinkles your conscience, you will bow to him in faith. Or if you meet him rebelling against God, when you hear his name in the day of judgment, your knee shall bow. Either way, every knee shall bow. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why is it to the glory of God the Father? Because this is his obedient son. This is his glory. This is his son who honored him and was obedient to him. This is to the glory of the Father. And it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's saying, whatever you do as the church of God, do it in obedience to your everlasting Father. Do it honoring your everlasting Father because of what he's done for you. The Lord said, I'll declare the decree. This is Psalm 2:7. The Lord Jesus, after he's risen and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and God has set his king in his holy hill, he said, I'll declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Because he's the obedient son, God the Father will give to his Son, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that risen God-man mediator, the advocate with the Father for his people. God the Father will give his Son whatever his Son asks for. Whatever he asks for. There's one Son that obeyed the Father. Just one. You and I are disobeying God if we claim we've obeyed him. We're disobeying God, we're dishonoring God, calling God a liar if we say, oh, I haven't disobeyed him, I've obeyed him. No, no, no. There's one son that's obeyed him. And one son alone gets the glory for obeying him. And he did it in perfection. But what about you and me? The only way we can come into the presence of holy God is if we're holy. The only way we can come into the presence of the righteous God is if we're righteous. We have to fulfill the whole law. We've got to dot every I and cross every T. We can leave nothing undone. every one of us that comes into His presence has got to have fully, perfectly fulfilled the law. And we've got to have no sin on our record whatsoever. How then can we come into God's presence? How can we obey the Father? How can we do that? The law says, honor thy father. And this is the good news of the gospel. The Son of God honored God the Father for every child of God. I can say that unequivocally. He honored the Father for every child of God. Every child of God are those that God gave His Son. Those He shall call. Those who shall be saved. And every one of them, Christ honored the Father for them. And He declares to His child, when He gives you a new heart and He gives you ears to hear and He quickens you to life, He declares to you and me that the way that you honor the Father, that's what the law said, you have to honor your Father, obey your Father, honor your Father. And He comes to us through this gospel and teaches us the way you obey God the Father, the way you honor God the Father, is you believe on His Son. Look at John 5 again. John chapter 5. Verse 22. This is part of that resurrection glory, that privilege given to the Son, to the obedient Son. He says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which is sent him. Verily, verily." When you see verily, verily, it means pay undivided attention to this, because this is vital. This is vital. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," he that hears this word He's declaring right now, the word where He said, "He that honors the Son honors the Father." He that hears this word and believeth on Him that sent me. Now, understand what He's saying here. You believe on God that sent Him by believing Christ's word and believing on Christ. God the Father sent Him with this word to say, you want to honor me? Honor my Son. You want to obey me? Obey my Son. You want to honor? Believe on my Son. And He says, "And he that does this hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You mean all that vast law that was there, that I couldn't keep, because I was a sinner when God gave it. That's right. Oh, God wouldn't give a law we couldn't keep. Yes, He did. He did. We died in Adam. Read the Scriptures. We died in Adam. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though over those that hadn't sinned after the similitude of Adam. Babies died. Why? Because sin had entered into the world, and death by sin. We were all sinners from our mother's womb. We couldn't keep the law. Why did He give the law then? Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 19. "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." Look now, "for by the law is the knowledge of sin." That's why He gave the law. He gave the law so you and I could have a knowledge of sin, so we could understand what sin is. What sin is. Look at Galatians chapter 3, in verse 21. Galatians 3:21. "Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." Do you see that? You see that? What He's saying there is, He's saying when God gave the law on Mount Sinai, we were already all dead and unable to keep it. There's no way it could have given us life. If you read what Paul told Timothy, he said the law's a ministration of death. The law's given to declare you dead, guilty before God. That's what the law's for. The law's given to say you have never obeyed God and never have honored God at all. That's what the law's given for. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, by the work of Jesus Christ alone, might be given to them that believe on Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled that whole law for His people. He fulfilled everything the law said for His people. And the obedient Son worked the works of God the Father. And now the obedient Son says to those He creates anew by His grace, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. You and I can never come to God by our obedience to the law. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God, period. But through faith in Christ, we establish the whole law of God. That doesn't mean I believe on God and then on Christ and then I go out and establish the law myself. No, I believe on Christ. And believing on Christ, I've established the whole law because Christ did. That's Romans 3. That's the end of Romans 3. That's why boasting is excluded by the law of faith, because I've got no room to boast. I didn't do anything to establish it. He did it. Faith just rests in Him to have done it for me. You understand that? And this is God's promise to all that honor the Father, all who obey the Father, by honoring the Son, by believing on the Son. This is God's promise to you and I. He says that it may be well with thee. How well? How well? Paul said in Colossians, you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. I was preaching in Mexico this week, and I saw something I'd never seen before, right in the middle of preaching. I pointed out to you before that the verse right before that, Colossians 2, says Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And the next verse says, and you're complete in Him. And the word complete and the word fullness are the same word. And it says, you're complete, you're the fullness of Him that is the head. Just as Christ is the body of the Godhead and the fullness of the Godhead in a body, His people are the fullness of Christ our head in His body. And you're complete in Him. You're complete in Him. He says, this is what He gives those that honors the Father, that thou mayest live long on the earth. What earth? This earth? He can make you live long on this earth. But if you read Genesis, you're going to find out, and then they died. This one lived 900 and so years, and he died. This one lived 800 years, and he died. This one lived so and so, and he died. Oh, no. He can make you live long in that new heaven and that new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, where everything is the creation of Christ Jesus, the God-man mediator. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Everlasting life. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Believer, if you believe Christ right now by His grace, and He's all your hope, and the only hope you have at all, that means you are passed from death to life. You have everlasting life right now. The doctor could come in today and say, you got a year to live. And you could say, no, sir, that's not true. I got all eternity to live. That's right. Everlasting life. Eternal life. He said in Exodus, this is the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You just think about it. There was nothing good in us. Anything. But God chose His people freely without a cause in you and me. There was no righteousness that we can do. Righteousness is free. Christ Jesus the Lord has made us the righteousness of God in Him. And He did it freely, not by anything we did. This is the land God gives thee. And He says, eternal life is the gift of God to the believer because it's God honoring His obedient Son in Christ Jesus. And He even gives you the faith to believe on Him. And gives you eternal life in Him, whom to know is life eternal. It's all a gift, brethren. Now, lastly, let's hear the exhortation now. Look back at Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, and He's speaking here to true children, God's children. It don't matter how old you are. It don't matter if you're young or old. He's talking to God's children. Children, obey your parents, your earthly parents in the Lord, for this is right. constrained by Christ's love for us. Children of God, obey your parents in the Lord. A born-again child of God is the only one who can obey their parents in the Lord. The only one that can do that. We do it through faith in Christ. And our gracious God says this is right. It's right because God says it's right. And happiness is doing what God says is right. Obey your parents. And then he says, and constrained by the love of Christ who fulfilled the law for us and who's the end of the law, who is our perfect righteousness, he says in verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. When God our Father makes his child, when he makes us born again, when he gives birth to us, our Father, when he does that, he makes us see that our Heavenly Father's love is from everlasting to everlasting. That means it has no beginning and it has no end. We're just in a little capsule called time, and he's going to bust that bubble one day, and there won't be anything but eternity. And we're going to see God's love never had a beginning and it never had an end. And when he makes you to see that, if you have a father or a mother that doesn't know this good news, he makes you want to teach them. He makes you want to declare it to them and be patient with them and show them and show them the word according to God's word and pray to God to bless it to their hearts and wait on God to do it. He makes you honor them by giving them the gospel. And if you have a father or mother who taught you this good news, it makes you just love them because they were honest with you and truthful with you and taught you the truth of the gospel. And you want to honor them as unto the Lord, in the Lord, because of what the Lord's done for you. And here's one last word. If you're a child who's yet in unbelief, if you're a child and you're in unbelief, you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, obey your parents and honor your parents by listening to them teach you the gospel. By coming to hear the word preached. And in everything they command you, so long as it is in the Lord, obey them. Because your parents are just earthen vessels. That's all they are. But God's going to use his earthen vessels filled with this treasure that he's put in them, Christ Jesus, the unspeakable gift. He's going to use earthen vessels to teach those that he's yet to gather, that must be gathered. He's going to teach them, and he's going to call them to Christ and make them obedient, God-honoring children by his grace working in them. It might just be that God uses your parents to bring you under the gospel where Christ calls you by his grace. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Honor your mother and your father. God says this is right. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. We'll have about a 10-minute break and then we'll come back at 11. Our Heavenly Father, oh, our great, gracious, merciful, good Father, we thank you, Lord, that you, in grace, sovereign and free, have made us to be your obedient children. We see nothing but sin in us. We see nothing but disobedience and dishonor in us. But, Lord, the way you say it is how it is. And by your honorable Son, you've made us honorable children. And we pray, Father, that you would make us obey and honor our earthly parents, that you would use us to speak the truth to our children, that you would draw those that you've everlastingly loved through this gospel. Lord, give Christ all the honor, all the glory. Bring every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that he is your honorable son, your God-honoring, obedient child. To your praise and your glory. Lord, we ask that you forgive us our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.